This is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. This week's show is going to focus on the Trump-Pence out now and on the struggle to drive out the Trump-Pence regime, because it is a fascist regime that seeks to remake the way the system in the U.S. is run, to get rid of the rule of law and end any civil liberties that people have had and replace it with open dictatorship in the place of the hidden dictatorship that we've got now. And although a fascist regime can be brought to power through the normal process of elections, etc., it cannot be driven out that way. The possibility of doing this has dramatically increased in past weeks, as hundreds of thousands have taken to the streets and the whole society has been convulsed by protests. But there are also deadly illusions that somehow we can just wait until November for an election that might not even occur. At the back end of the show, we'll hear three statements from a recent webinar of Refuse Fascism featuring Coco Das, Sarah Rourke, and Carl Dix, members of the editorial board of Refuse Fascism, so stay tuned for that. But opening the show up, we'll hear voices from a press conference celebrating the dropping of all remaining charges from the Freeway 9, members of Refuse Fascism and the LA Revolution Club, who courageously blocked the 101 freeway in Los Angeles with a huge banner saying, "Trump-Pence regime must go." They did this in 2017 and have been hounded for nearly 3 years. But after two hung juries and the refusal of the defendants to back down, the LA city attorney was forced to drop all charges. This is an important victory for the people. We'll hear an introduction and remarks by Chantel Hershberger of Refuse Fascism, followed by remarks by Michelle Chai of the Revolution Club, followed by a statement from Chantel. After that, we'll hear Alex, another defendant, and closing remarks by Michelle Chai.
3 years ago in 2017, nine of us actually took to the freeway with signs that said, "November 4, it begins." We were calling for mass sustained nonviolent protests starting on November 4 to drive out the Trump-Pence fascist regime, you know, back in 2017. Back when all these horrific crimes he was committing against humanity were already intolerable. And we were calling on people to step outside of politics as usual and to act now, not to wait on the Democrats to do something for us, but for the people to act in the interest of humanity. So that's what we were doing back then. We took to the freeway again with a giant banner. It's on this picture right here, "Trump-Pence regime must go." In case our message wasn't clear the first time, we made it clear as day what we were doing on that freeway. "Trump-Pence regime must go now." So we took to the freeway again because people still weren't acting commensurate with the danger we were facing. And we recognized the danger that this regime posed. And we felt we were compelled to act and sound the alarm that this is fascism and the people must drive it from power.
My name is Michelle. I am a former defendant in the Freeway 9 and the UCLA 5, who actually were, all these charges were brought on at the same time. A total of 11 members of Refuse Fascism for both actions on the freeway and in UCLA protesting Steve Mnuchin. I was originally charged with conspiracy for quote-unquote committing a crime. And I just wanted to give people a little history of these cases, in particular the Freeway 9. But I do want to say the UCLA 5, we took this case to a jury trial, and 12 jurors found us not guilty of all crimes. Yes. So here's the history of the Freeway 9, right? The Freeway 9 were relentlessly prosecuted and persecuted for almost 3 years for demanding that the Trump-Pence regime must go, as this fascist regime was unleashing a barrage of insult, injury, and atrocity with catastrophic consequences for all of humanity. They were sounding the alarm of the dangers of this regime and calling on others in our thousands and millions to take to the streets across the country in nonviolent, sustained mass protests, demanding Trump-Pence out now, growing to millions and staying in the streets until this demand is met. The LAPD responded by having the LAPD Anti-Terrorist Division take over the investigation of these arrests. The division sent in a confidential informant, a CI, aka a police spy, who secretly recorded the political meetings of Refuse Fascism held in a church for 4 weeks. It was revealed in court that these secret recordings included attempts by the CI to entrap members of Refuse Fascism. Based on the ATD's recommendations, two individuals whom the ATD identified as leaders of Refuse Fascism were charged with conspiracy, one of whom was not arrested or even on the freeway during these protests. A critical component of the Trump-Pence fascist regime's program is the suppression and criminalization of dissent, the tearing up of the rule of law and passage of laws allowing protesters to be run over, and Trump encouraging his white supremacist Nazi mob to take out protesters on stretchers, all of which has escalated in the last 3 years. It is outrageous that these dismissals come only after two of the Freeway Nine have been put on trial two times, both of which ended in mistrials, hung jury. Even as the first trial ended with 9 of 12 jurors voting not guilty on all charges, the city attorney Democrat Mike Fuhrer demanded a new trial. The second trial also ended with a hung jury in March of this year, and again, the city attorney's office announced they would be seeking yet a third trial. These freeway defendants acted with courage and foresight and refused to back down, facing 3 years in jail. Today, we see the eruption of a beautiful movement of hundreds of thousands across this country standing up to horrific crimes against black lives, against the murder by police of black and other oppressed people, which has been given even more of a green light by the Trump-Pence regime. The courage and conviction shown by the Freeway Nine should inspire all those who see the danger of this fascist regime to now build on what has begun in the streets this past month to raise more powerfully that the Trump-Pence regime must go. We can't rely on the normal channels to stop this fascist regime. We need to flood the streets in mass sustained nonviolent protests, not stopping until our demand is met. Trump Pence out now! Trump Pence out now! Trump Pence out now! That's right. So now here's Chantel, which she didn't get a proper introduction. Chantel is one of the two Freeway Nine who was put on trial twice, who got hung jury twice, who has not backed down in the face of all of this. Well, at one point, they were trying to try her on her own. And we fought like hell to have people be brought together, and she ended up being in the same case, in the same trial as Alex. But she has not backed down in the face of all of this. She was on the freeway both times. And now she is leading Refuse Fascism here in Los Angeles. So this is Chantel Hirschberger.
Thanks, Michelle. I also wanted to give a shout out to my homie right here, Jazz, who spent the night with me in prison. You know, we've spent more time in jail than Trump. You know, for righteously stepping out and calling on people to do what's needed. So just wanted to give a shout out to my sister right here and to the others who participated in the first freeway action. They're here with us in spirit, too. So I just wanted to just say something quick on behalf of Refuse Fascism is, you know, when we took to the freeway, you know, we weren't thinking about what's going to happen to us as individuals. We were worried about what's going to happen to the families seeking asylum. What's going to happen to the people in North Korea that Trump was threatening with fire and fury? What's going to happen to women in this country? What's going to happen, you know, to the planet if we don't act now? And so that's what we were doing, and it says it right here on our poster, urgently needed now more than ever. We're seeing people take to the streets because they've had enough. They've had enough of this white supremacist terror, you know, from the police, from vigilantes, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd. You know, people have had enough. And now this resistance can be taken and strengthened if we bring in this demand, Trump Pence out now. We refuse to accept a fascist America. And yeah, that's just what I wanted to say on behalf of Refuse Fascism. It's going to take courage and conviction to stop the crimes of our government. And you know, and that's what we're calling on. So if you want to get organized with Refuse Fascism, send us a message, email us at info@refusefascism.org or sign up at refusefascism.org right now. Share this press conference around. If you're watching on Facebook, please share. And please donate right to refuse fascism because we are doing tireless, needed work in driving out this regime now because that's what's required of the people. When there's fascists in power, we have to act with courage and with our conviction.
That was Michelle Chai and Chantel Hershberger from the Freeway 9, and this is the Michael Slate Show. Now we'll hear from Alex, followed by closing remarks from Michelle.
It was powerful, and you're going to hear straight up from Alex, who is the next person who's going to be speaking, you know, why they did what they did and why it matters that they fought through all the way. And now we're here with all these illegitimate charges dropped. Yeah. So give it up for Alex.
Hi, guys. This is a victory for humanity, you know, in the fight against fascism. You know, and as Chantel was speaking about, like, having the courage to go into the freeway, it reminded me of that day, right, of those 2 days that we decided we were walking towards the ramp, right, of the freeway, and I had to take a deep breath, right, because I knew that it is a dangerous thing to do, but I wasn't thinking about myself. Well, all of us weren't thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about humanity, right, because if you look back in 2017, what they were doing, right, they were the Muslim ban, right, threatening North Korea with nuclear war, right? It wasn't full-on fascist as it is now, right? And fast forward to today, look at all the horrors, right? Look at how many thousands and thousands of people, millions all over thousands of people all over the world are dying because of this negligence of this fascist regime, because of the COVID-19, right? Where they're locking children in cages, right? And we stood in that freeway in the interest of humanity, right? To put this demand forward to people that Trump Pence must go, right? And look, we got arrested, they pressed charges, we got spied on. Once we went to the court to fight these legitimate charges, we found out that there was a spy sent into our meetings, right? By the LAPD, who has a notorious history of spying on political groups, right? They disbanded, I forget the name of the group that disbanded, right? But they turned into the anti-terrorist division, right? And they spied on us. And these lawyers, right, these very courageous lawyers who we're very thankful for, they got the guy, right, the lead investigator to take the stand and testify on why they sent in a spy into our meetings. And he tried to justify it by saying that they wanted to know who the leaders were. Well, they found out who the leaders were, and they charged them with conspiracy, right? And that's known charges for taking out leadership, right? And we fought it, and we defeated, right? And look, we took it to trial, we took the stand, we said powerfully why we did what we did, right? And then, you know, the prosecutor said, well, why didn't you guys just vote? Why didn't you guys do like something like the Women's March? And I said, look, the Women's March was powerful and it was a beautiful thing, but the fascists in the White House are still there. Right? We have to take it all the way. We have to make a sustained, nonviolent protest to demand these fascists must go. Right? And look, there's a lot of things I want to say, but this is a victory for humanity. And look, the fight is not over yet. These fascists are still in the White House. Right? And look, right now, there's these beautiful uprisings of people fighting against the murder of black lives, right? Murder of brown people. And that's beautiful, and it has to be strengthened. In the middle of that, we have to bring this demand that Trump Pence out now. Because like, these fascists are whipping up their base. They're whipping up these white supremacists. They're whipping up these pigs to go out and brutalize people. There's video after video of people being murdered by the police. There's video after video during these protests where peaceful protesters have been brutalized. And I want to connect this with what Trump has been saying about Antifa, right? He wants to label it a terrorist organization, which is not an organization, right? But he's talking about people like us, people who are out here protesting. He wants to criminalize those people. He wants to make it into a law where these pigs can pick up any protester and jail them, right? And press charges like what they did to us. Right, and look, we took a courageous stand in the freeway. We took a courageous stand taking this trial and fighting it. And I hope that this inspires people to not accept the terms of these people, these fascists, or the state, or the system, right? To actually fight it and take it all the way and bring people, rally people around you, right? to like come have your back, have their backs, and let's actually take this fight and you know, let's take it all the way, right? And look, I'm a revolutionary. I say we need a revolution. Right? We gotta drive, but first we gotta get past this fascist. We have to drive him out from power, and we cannot stop there. We have to make an actual revolution, and we have a leadership for this, and the sister over here is gonna speak about that.
So Alex just made an important point to me about, like, look, the role that the city attorney played in all of this, right? A Democratic city attorney that basically collaborated with fascism, that going against people that were doing exactly what's on this picture. Standing in the freeway, non-violently holding a 60-foot banner that said Trump Pence regime must go. That didn't hurt anybody. That didn't put people's lives at risk other than the people that actually got on the freeway. But they treated these people like criminals. And this was a battle in the courtroom the whole time, where the prosecutor was trying to make this, quote unquote, not political. And I want to ask, how do you make a trial when all of the evidence is political, not political?
That's right.
How do you make people that took the freeway, as Alex said, thinking about the people of the world and the crimes that the Trump Pence regime was committing, how do you make that non-political? All of the evidence, the fact that they sent in a pig into our meeting to secretly record and try to find out who the leaders were and targeted them with conspiracy. That what wasn't even on the freeway. So as you can see, we're getting a lot of love out here. And look, this trial again was a battle. In the courtroom, where they were trying to suppress this evidence and trying to not talk about this confidential informant, when they were trying to not bring this message, when they tried and tried again to get these t-shirts banned from the courthouse in the courtroom. They didn't want people to know why people were being put on trial. They didn't want this message to get out. They just wanted to make it about a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what they, to try to just say where they were on the freeway and that's what they're being charged with. No. What they were being charged with was for putting out this message, was for standing up and calling on people to take to the streets in non-violent sustained protest to demand that the Trump Pence regime must go. So, I'm the next speaker now. I guess I'm going to introduce myself. So my name is Michelle. I am a member of the Revolution Club. I am a defendant in the freeway, former defendant in the Freeway 9 and the UCLA 5 cases. And I was one of the two that was charged with conspiracy. I was one of the two that was not on the freeway and was still brought charges, you know, on us. And I think as Alex said, right, what are conspiracy charges known for? Historically, to go after leadership, to try to criminalize, you think about it, you see the evidence that came out from the CI, right, that quoted some things that were said in the meeting. There was nothing criminal that was said in the meeting. We were talking about non-violent sustained protests. We were talking about going to the different campuses and reaching out to students about this. We were talking about protesting in the streets and bringing other people into this fight to drive out the regime. And as Chantel said, we have spent more time in jail. We have spent 3 years going to court hearings, on trials, fighting this case, and the murdering police that keep getting away with murdering black and brown people are still in the streets continuing to murder people. The fascist regime, they are locking immigrant children in concentration. working on. That's what Refuse Fascism's mission is, to get a movement of sustained nonviolent protest demanding Trump Pence out now. And the revolution is throwing all in to work on this because, as Alex said, look, we do need a revolution. But we need to get rid of these fascists that are right now, all everything that we've been hearing throughout this press conference that have been coming out from different people, the crimes that they're committing. These people, look, as the leader of the revolution says, Bob Bacon says, there's a direct line from the Confederacy to the fascists of today. Anybody who upholds this country and tries to talk about returning to past greatness. Whoa. Sound familiar? Make America great again? Talking about a country that was founded on slavery and genocide cannot help but be upholding that white supremacy and wanting to return and wanting to make this country white again. Wanting to return to the days when black people were lynched in the streets. But returning to the days of segregation, returning to those days when black people were not considered human beings. This country gave rise to a fascist like Donald Trump. When you have a country that has white supremacy poured into every fabric of this system, can only give rise to the ugliness, the white supremacy, the misogyny, the xenophobia of the Trump-Pence fascist regime. And we need to drive out this fascist regime, but not to put in another criminal party, another criminal leadership. We need to get rid of this fascist regime, and we need to go forward to get to a world beyond borders, to get to a world where women, men, and differently gendered people are treated as equals and comrades. We need to get beyond this system and get to a world community of human beings, and that's possible.
Yes!
That's possible, but what stands in the way is this system of capitalism and imperialism that needs to be brought down. And that's what the revolution is organizing for. That's what the revolution is preparing for. And we're bringing this leadership of Bob Bacon, somebody who has dedicated his life to going to work out how do we really bring this, that's right, how do we bring down this system at the soonest possible time, developing a strategy, writing a constitution for what the society will look like after this revolution. People should get into Bob Bacon, go to revcon.us, get organized into this revolution. We refuse to go back. There is no going back, okay? This is either going to get resolved in a radically fascist way, as we're seeing the way that Donald Trump and these fascists are moving, and what we've been seeing in the streets with people taking to the streets courageously, and Donald Trump is whipping up his fascist base, his, as Alex said, whipping up the police, whipping up, you know, trying to threaten to send in the military to crush these protesters. And this should not be tolerated, and we should not accept to go in that direction. We need a radical revolutionary resolution to this, to not just bring down and drive out the Trump-Pence regime, but to bring down this whole system of capitalism that was founded on slavery and genocide and can never be good for the masses of humanity. So again, my name is Michelle. I'm with the Revolution Club and one of the defendants. And as Alex said, this is a victory for humanity, a victory for people that care about justice.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and we've been listening to voices from a press conference celebrating the victory in the case of the Freeway 9. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, that piece was Let's Make History from the International Noise Conspiracy. Now we're going to hear Coco Das, a member of the editorial board of Refuse Fascism.
I want to start with an announcement of a tremendous victory that we just found out today. We got the news that all charges against the Freeway 9 have finally been dismissed. I'm not going to go into all that here, but I do think that it's important for people to see a few points out of this and to learn a little bit from this. One, our mission to drive out this fascist Trump-Pence regime through sustained nonviolent protest that grows to millions in the streets, that demands removal of the regime, that creates a political crisis, that then forces the ruling powers to make a decision and force out this regime or force out Trump and then Pence, you know, however it happens. This has been our mission from the beginning. And it is very important that what we said, what our analysis that we put forward and the strategy that we put forward has been borne out to be the right strategy. And what we have said is the problem has been borne out to be true. And these defendants refused to back down because they knew that what they were doing was necessary. So that's the first lesson. And it's a lesson for all of us in this movement and everyone who's coming in today. I hope there are a lot of new people and I'm really glad that you're here. But this is a really important thing to keep in mind as we continue our presentation here, that what we are putting forward is based on a very careful of analysis of what is actually happening, of reality. And we have not backed down from our mission. The defendants here held firm and insisted in court that they were right in taking these actions, and juries sided with them. And it has come to a situation where now the state has been forced to, at least for now, lay off of their repression of this movement. You know, that's to say that what we have been putting forward was always necessary and it was always possible. But never has it been more within our reach than now, because in 2017, there was a missing ingredient that we have now. And that ingredient is that there are now masses in the streets who are aroused, who keep coming back into the streets, who are not backing down, just like these defendants, and who are increasingly seeing that Trump should go. And this is a very, very crucial beginning of something that can be very quickly transformed into something that could lead to even greater, greater victories for the people. This is a moment to seize. For 3 years, our analysis of what we were facing that has been borne out to be true, but now we have a situation where over the last 3 weeks, people are coming into the streets over and over again. That tells us even more now of what's possible. Things that we thought were not possible, things that people thought were not possible back in February or the beginning of March. Now, you know, you look around and those things are possible. So what we have to do right now is to go out and tell people what they don't spontaneously know. And that is that this regime is a fascist regime, that they are not going to back down from what they want for the future of humanity or for the future of this country, which is to consolidate a fascist program that is Christian, theocratic, based on Trump, Mike Pence's Bible taken literally, that is instituting a virulent white supremacy, that is rooted in the Confederacy, that is a nightmare for LGBT people and for women who are poised to lose their right to abortion. These are all things that they actually see as their last chance with Trump and Pence to do this, hammer in this program that has been decades in the making. And this is a moment that we have to seize, because they are actually also going to seize the moment. So I'm going to go into this a little bit more here. What is this moment we are in that we keep talking about? We have this situation that in the last 3 weeks, there's tremendous hope from people flooding the streets, standing up for a very different set of values than the hate and bigotry of that people have normalized over the last 3 years of this regime. Then that hate and bigotry has actually not only been normalized, but fortified under the leadership of Trump and Pence. But now there's a situation where even though these protests did not start out as a repudiation of the Trump-Pence program, that has become a part of this movement for justice. There is tremendous hatred for what this regime represents that you can see right now in the streets. Now facing this crisis on the other side is this regime that has actually been able to roll over most opposition since its inauguration. It had a few challenges with the Muslim ban, but was able to roll over it and be victorious. There is a Muslim ban now that affects millions of lives. Had a little bit of opposition over family separation. It rolled over that. There are at the now actually under COVID, they're separating families again and actually holding children hostage, having parents give up their parental rights in order to save their children. They had some, down the line of what Kavanaugh, there were protests, but they have been able to roll over most opposition. But this crisis that they're facing with these sustained protests that have not let up, that is not one that they could roll over easily. But they have to become victorious over it. They have a necessity to actually get through this crisis if they are to consolidate their power. And they have mainly done this through brute force and calling out the violence of the federal forces, whether it's at Lafayette Park, National Guard, the police, and the violence of their fascist base, their street thugs, what Trump called the bikers for Trump, but it's not just bikers, it's the armed militias, it's the Proud Boys, all these, the people who shot protesters who were trying to take down a statue in Arizona. There have been, very, very minuscule concessions. Mainly how they see getting through this moment is by bringing down the hammer and calling out even more violence and terror against the people. And this is why Trump had to restart his rallies and why it is not an accident that he restarted his rallies in Tulsa, the site of the one of the biggest mass killings of Black people, white supremacist mass killings of Black people on Juneteenth weekend. He backed down by one day, but if any of you saw that speech, what you see is somebody who is even more on a rampage, who is doubling down on this racism and this whole fascist program and attacking any opposition. The Democrats, and what he calls Antifa, the radical left, all of that needs to be eliminated. In his mind and in the mind of the regime. So that rally and this rally in Arizona is a continual escalation on the side of these fascists. And they are announcing, they are telling you, they have no plans to back down. And they will come at us even more viciously and with even more determination. And what they're telling you is that they will not stop until they prevail. This is throwing down a heavy gauntlet to the people that we have to throw back, and we have to lead people in throwing that gauntlet back. And we must not stop, and we have to make it clear that we will not stop until we prevail in the name of humanity. Right now, you see that Trump is highlighting Black, crimes of Black people against white people. This is straight out of Hitler's playbook. And his speeches in Tulsa and Arizona are not only replays of his previous attacks. They're far more cutthroat. They're far more desperate. They're far more threatening. And they're far more unhinged. And it's very clear what they are most afraid of is people in the streets. At the same time, there are other players in the regime who are playing a different role. And that role is to subvert all the norms and subvert all the normal channels and the rule of law, the separation of church and state, the separation of powers, which they've been, you know, doing for 3 years, but, you know, they've just confirmed the 200th federal judge with a lifetime appointment. This is all part of how the regime plans to consolidate their power and actually institute their program for a generation to come. So relying on, and we also cannot forget that Trump was impeached for hijacking and, you know, for sabotaging this election. They have made it clear, and Sarah will talk more about this, that they don't respect elections, and that the chance of a free and fair election and of Trump even stepping down if he loses is it's a very strong possibility that he won't, or that there may not even be elections because of COVID. So relying on the norms and the regular channels of the system is not going to solve this problem. And it is a profound and urgent problem. Trump, who is a very actually effective fascist leader. There's a whole fascist regime, and there's a whole movement of fanatical followers that are determined to completely change the way society and government have been run. And in this moment, we have to pose this question to everyone who does not want a future of fascist revenge and terror, who does not want women to lose their right to control their own bodies, who does not want a white supremacist mob rule. We have to pose this question: will you accept a fascist America? Will you stand aside hoping that politics as usual will remove a regime that is subverting elections and using organized violence from the military and the police in combination with terroristic street violence to crush dissent? Are you going to wait this out even further? See how many more lives are going to be on the line? Or are you going to bring our strength and contribute to our strength, which is being in the streets in huge numbers and staying in the streets until this demand, the Trump-Pence regime must go now, is met? Because the fact is that we can actually drive out this regime and cripple this fascist movement in the same way that tyrannical regimes all over the world are driven out. The people flood the streets day in, day out. The momentum grows, the number grows, and the demand is that the regime must go. And when people don't back down from that regime, that demand, the splits at the top intensify, the rulers try to find a resolution to it, and the leader and the regime is forced out. It has happened in Puerto Rico, it's happened in South Korea, it's happened in Egypt, it's happened in Tunisia. There are a whole list of countries where this has happened, and it is possible here. You are here to become part of this organizing force that is going to take this movement to the next level and take this struggle to the level where it needs to be, going all the way to driving out a white supremacist, brutally terroristic regime that is the most dangerous regime in the world right now, frankly, and a huge danger to the future of humanity and the planet. You are here to become part of that organizing force that will bring those millions forward to fulfill this mission, this necessary, urgent mission. And if we succeed, I want you to imagine what that will make possible. For every struggle for justice, every struggle for justice will be advanced. But if we should fail to see this through, not only will every struggle for justice be set back, these fascist forces will go out for revenge, and they will aim to destroy the ability of the people to stand up again. And we have to challenge everybody, what kind of future do you want? What kind are you willing to sacrifice the future of your children, of the children of the world, to some hope that the normal channels will resolve this? The hour is getting late, but it is still not too late if we go out with everything we have to make this mass mobilization a reality. And we must not stop until this is won.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and that was Coco Das from the editorial board of Refuse Fascism. Next, we'll hear remarks from Sarah Rourke, another member of the Refuse Fascism editorial board.
Hi, folks. Yeah, like Sam said, I'm going to attempt to deepen the question. I actually would like to flip some of the questions that I normally get on their head, two of them. And the first one I want to flip around on you guys is ask yourself, why is it okay to wait? People challenge me and say, why do we have to get out in the streets now? Why don't we wait for the election? I want to come at you the other way. Why do you think it's okay to wait till November? On what do you base that? When we are watching, as Coco said, lots of moves from this regime to quash dissent, to dismantle the superstructure of our democracy out from under us so that nobody can retake power. And history teaches us that this is how fascism works. It is an ailment of failing democracies, and fascists use the democratic structure to get in a position of power and then use that power, as the Trump regime does, to hollow out civil government, hollow out the electoral process, and make it so that nobody can take power back through the normal process. That's why they're putting party hacks in charge of the census. That's why we saw what we saw in Georgia with the voter suppression, Kentucky, Georgia in 2018. We have seen them do this numerous times. So why do you think they're not going to do it again? Why do you think they would not pull out all the stops this time when it's on the line and their butts are going to jail if they don't stay in power? Seriously, do you think that they have moral qualms that they're gonna, you know, back off? I'm very seriously asking you to think about this. And if you actually think you have a reason why we should wait till November, I would like to hear it. Please give it to us in chat or anything else. This is the dialogue that we're trying to have. The other flip I'd like to do is, why not hit the streets? People, you know, ask me, especially, you know, fellow Democrats, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do this velvet revolution thing like South Korea, like Egypt, like Tunisia, like Algeria, Puerto Rico? Why do you want to do this? And I'm saying, why not? Why do you not support this? Especially now in this moment when we are seeing so many people all across the spectrum supporting the righteous demand of the Black Lives Matter protesters who have been out in the streets, and their protests have moved the needle on a local and state level already visibly. And this has been very powerful. Few people have denied its power. Well, why not? Why can't we do that to get fascists out of power? Especially when those fascists are threatening everyone. We can't fix police while fascists are in power. We can't fix women's rights. We can't protect the right to choose while fascists are in power. We can't rebuild our broken electoral system, do something about the electoral college problem. We can't get rid of gerrymandering. We can't restore trans rights and LGBT rights that are being stripped away. We can't do any of this while fascists are in power. Fascists do not fix things, and they especially don't fix those things. This is what history teaches us. So then the last thing I would like to do is put in my plea for what Sam and Coco have already said is of critical importance, which is We do need to spread the understanding that this is fascism. Because, you know, it's like the old proverb of the seven guys in a dark room who each grab a part of an elephant. One grabs the tail and he thinks he's got a worm. One grabs an ear and he thinks he's got a bat. And if they would put together their perspectives, their diverse perspectives, they'd realize that they have an elephant. We're coming from very diverse perspectives, which is part of why we have trouble diagnosing the larger problem with the Trump regime. And asking me, does it matter that this is fascism, to me is like asking, does it matter if those guys figure out they've got an elephant? Of course it matters. If you figure out you've got an elephant, that doesn't tell you everything. All elephants are different. There's different species of elephants. They'll do different things under different circumstances. But once you know that it's an elephant, you know things about it. You know, you're more able to predict its moves. You're more able to do something about it if you need to, right? The increased understanding is crucial. Being able to name the problem and learn from history about it, which there's plenty of history and study on this, is crucial. So we really do have to struggle for this understanding. Not everybody in the street necessarily needs to be able to quote this chapter and verse, I think. But this is a unique threat to our generation, to as far as I know, history in this country, really. This kind of modern fascist assault on our democracy. This is unique, and we need to recognize that, and we need to act in a manner that is commensurate. If we don't, we're going to be, assuming we survive at all, in the same position as the Germans after World War II, who nobody's going to care that they were good people. Nobody's going to care that they claim they didn't see it coming. None of that is going to matter. What people are going to look at is the cost. I think we need to be out on the streets right now if we want to prevent that scale of a tragedy.
Now we're going to hear Carl Dix, a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a member of the Refuse Fascism editorial board.
Do you have strategies to get prominent voices, especially those who might already agree to center our message?
Well, look, what you have to do is you have to reach out to them. One, look at what's happening, who's saying what, who's doing what, and then reach out to them with the message. And some of the people that were in the thing that the, I saw the thing in the chat, are people that we've reached out to. I mean, one in particular actually helped the launch of the Out Now campaign by coming and speaking at its opening rally in New York City last fall. I mean, that was Cornel West. But what you have to do is you have to take to them the reality of what's happening, and especially this gauntlet that Trump has thrown down, that he is going to call out the military to crush this upsurge of protest, that this is not going to be allowed to go down. He's connecting it to his love of these Confederate monuments to the Confederacy. He is calling on his people, the rough and tough bikers and the rest of them, to come out and help suppress this. This is what is being put forward in opposition to the huge numbers of people who've been in the streets the past couple weeks, who want to see an end to police murder of Black people and white supremacy. But look, I've been in the streets with them from Minneapolis to DC to New York. They also want to see other horrors that this system brings down on people, from the attacks on immigrants, attacks on women, destruction of the environment. They want to see that stopped. The Trump-Pence regime is intensifying all of those. So we have to go to people with, we must stand up against these horrors, and we have to stand up in particular around this white supremacy, but you're not going to advance the struggle for white to end white supremacy if you ignore the open and naked white supremacist in the White House who's putting the call out to all the good old boys and girls to get out there and fan the flames for this. We have to take this on. I noted that there was a question of what's our strategy beyond protest. Look, it has made a huge difference that people have been in the streets all across the country. The great diversity of people who have been in the streets, calling for an end to police murder, an end to white supremacy, and expressing a determination to actually fight to end this. We need to connect that to the fact that there is a white supremacist in the White House who's opposing everything these people stand up for, and call for that to continue. And just imagine it continuing. Imagine a crescendo of voices impacting in other arenas. Like I just rewatched a new video from Public Enemy called State of the Union, Shut the F*** Up. And I mean, it's about as anti-Trump as you can get. And in talking about it, I saw a tweet from Public Enemy that said, we got to Nixonize 45 by July, and calling for 1,000 songs. He says, this ain't just about Public Enemy putting out a song. This is about 1,000 songs coming out. Well, imagine that kind of crescendo. And we have to work to do that. And different people have the capability to reach different people. There's some people with prominence that I might be able to get a hearing from, but then there's some other people of prominence that somebody else might be. Let's make all of that happen so that we can bring as much to bear as possible. And look, the hour is late, but it's not too late. And we really cannot fall into a we're waiting for November, you know, because November might not come in terms of the election might not happen. They're working to rig it and sabotage it right now as we speak. And it would really be a wrong move to wait on that. But we also don't have to wait. We have seen this happen in countries around the world. This country won't be the easiest one to do it in, but it is also the one in which it would have the most impact globally if it happens. And then let's go to work on that. You know, don't give up if the people around you, I saw one person was saying, does it frustrate you that everybody she talks to, you know, around her doesn't want to hear it? Well, don't give up on that, because it is really necessary for this message to hit home. Look outside the window and you can see, and in some cities, people were telling me, well, in Minneapolis, it was like this. You'd go out on a protest and you'd be marching this way with several thousand people, and you'd come across several thousand people crossing your path, and you'd swing with them, and then you'd find others. There are people out there who do want to see something happen. We have to work on reaching to them. If you're in a city where there's a Refuse Fascism chapter, get connected with it. You can get connected by connecting up the way that Sam and Coco have been talking about. If you're somewhere where there's not one yet, let us know that you want to be a part of this. Come on Friday on the call that Sam was talking about, and let's get to work on it. And let's work at how we can build something up where you are, what role you can play in it. And look, everybody's always got to start somewhere, and it will always feel like you can't do it. I remember when I got my orders to go to Vietnam, and I reported to the overseas replacement station. I'm supposed to get on a plane to Vietnam in 3 days. I'm by myself. What can I do? I can't get on that plane, can I? Because I don't want to go kill people. We're trying to get their country free for this system. And just to make a long story short, I bumped into two other GIs who had the same problem. And then we decided, well, let's work on it together. And soon we had collected a couple of dozen GIs who didn't want to go, and we worked on strategies to work on that. Now, mine ended up with me in Leavenworth Military Penitentiary, because I happened to have a lot of time left in my hitch in the Army, so I had to refuse orders. But from the point where I show up at the overseas replacement station to the point where I'm part of the largest mass refusal of GIs to go to Vietnam, it just required stepping up and doing things I hadn't done before and finding other people to do it with me. So that's what we have to do. And in the name of humanity thing that we did, you know, you saw videos of people doing, that's really who we're doing this for. We're doing this for humanity because humanity needs this. You know, the kids in concentration camps on the border need it. The people who are dying needlessly and getting sick needlessly from the coronavirus pandemic, they need it. People who are being brutalized and murdered by police need it. And I could go on and on.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and we've been hearing representatives of Refuse Fascism from a recent webinar. Tune in tomorrow, Saturday, June 27th at 5 p.m., for a free Zoom reading from the Fountain Theater as part of their online Saturday matinee series. Showtime's Blues by France Lou Spencen is a short piece featuring a young Black woman and a young Black man on a subway in New York City. Their encounter is a powerful, entertaining nugget that completely brings home, especially for white eyes and ears, what it means to be living while Black in America. It's a perspective changer, an eye-opener, and done in such a way that we feel exactly what the characters are feeling. For details about how to watch, go to www.fountaintheater.com. Once again, that's www.fountaintheater.com. And check my Facebook page for the link. And we're going to go out now with When the Ship Comes In. Talk to you again next week.
Oh, the time will come up when the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to be breathing. Like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins. The hour when the ship comes in. Oh, the seas will split and the ship